Welcome to Brain Junk. I'm Amy Barton.
And I'm Trace Kerr. And it's time for everything you never knew you wanted to know about the giant Pacific garbage patch.
I'm hoping this is like one of those islands made out of water bottles, but I feel like it's probably not.
Well, it's better than you'd think. I was expecting terrible, and it's...
Yeah.
But first, before we get started,
yes,
if you've listened to us for a long time, you've probably noticed that we've changed up the format a little bit, and we've made the episodes a little longer, and we had a new review, Amy. So poster MS537543. Thank you, Apple, for letting us have really fun and exciting.
I know. I'm like, wow, that's maybe a scientist, because that's a very technical handle.
It is. Well, and I got to tell you this review, which I'm not going to read the whole thing because it had bullet points, which did my little heart. I even sent you the bullet points.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Bullet Point, because I adore a good list.
Yeah, me too. I just wanted to read a little bit. Anyone interested in the world around them will enjoy and learn a lot from the podcast Brain Junk. Amy and Trace are entertaining hosts who make studying history and science enjoyable.
Aww. That's delightful.
Right? Before the bullet points, it ends with, Brain Junk is an excellent option if you're seeking a podcast that can entertain and educate you. I heartily endorse it. Thank you, MS.
MS dot dot dot.
537543.
I enjoy a hearty endorsement.
Right?
Maybe someday MS number can break away from the empire and get his own real name. But for now,
there we go.
He does not get to be a part of the resistance.
No, you're stuck.
Just numbers still. Sorry, buddy.
Apple thinks my phone is my son's phone. So when I use it, if I do a review, it's got his name on it. He's like,
oh,
quit leaving reviews.
Somehow, somewhere, my phone will come up as Nancy Barton.
Oh.
I'm like, I've told off a telemarketer once. I'm like, and I am not Nancy.
Okay, Nancy.
And apparently maybe I was according to their records, but still.
Oh, that's unfair. You could throw out your phone and maybe it would float into the... No, it's a bad segue. There is your happy feeling. Now we're going to talk about garbage. Let me ask you, when I say the giant Pacific garbage patch, what do you envision?
Greta Thunberg with very stormy eyebrows.
Okay.
Scowling at us. And then like a giant mat of trash in the Pacific.
And I also had this image of one giant floating island.
Because I would think currents would bring it together in certain areas. I'm sure there's random free range trash, but...
Yes. And that's true. So it's not the only garbage patch.
We're not alone. That's nice.
Yeah. And it's less an island of crap that we've tossed into the ocean and more like blobs of trash. So if you imagine the ocean like a cup of stirred cocoa and trash is marshmallows banging around in the current made from your stirring, that's...
Oh, okay.
That's what's going on. Yeah. So
how big are these marshmallows of trash? Sorry.
I'll tell you now. It depends. mostly there's teeny tiny microplastics the size of peas or smaller, just floating.
Mm-hmm.
But it goes all the way to things like fishing nets and water bottles and...
Okay.
But it's all trapped in these circulating currents called a gyre. Every single ocean has a gyre. The giant garbage patch that I'm talking about is off the coast of the western United States. Think midway between California and Hawaii.
Okay.
It's on a circle with another patch over off the coast of Japan. That's the Western Pacific garbage patch. Okay, so the things in the water. Here's the thing. It's not just stuff floating on the surface, which is what I had in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
There are things floating in the water from the surface all the way down to the seafloor.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How deep is that?
You know, as deep as the ocean goes. There's stuff. So it's possible to sail through what we call a garbage patch and not see anything.
Okay. That makes sense.
You know, I had this very like water world kind of
floating
cities of trash. And I mean, that does happen. There are mats of stuff, but it's more spread out than I think we've thought about.
That makes sense because the disparate currents that are at the warmer surface water versus as you get deeper, they're doing different things, right?
Yes, exactly. And it's not just trash from the coasts. You have like shipping containers lost at sea. So you got Batman masks and plastic toothbrushes and rubber duckies and lighters. I mean, anything.
Ooh, so much stuff. I guess when you think about everything they're finding in Lake Mead as it dries up. Listeners, yeah, this is mid 2023 and it's a little dry in the American Southwest. Mm-hmm. And lakes are drying up and they're finding bodies and cars and all sorts of things.
Okay, so that's terribly depressing, but then there's this interesting angle, and this is what got me looking into this. Garbage isn't the only thing that gets lost at sea. So I was reading this paper, Tsunami-Driven Rafting, Transoceanic Species Dispersal and Implications for Marine Biology.
Oh my, that's quite a title.
Right? Well, and I had this duh moment. Like, critters are hitching rides on floating trash.
Oh, intentionally or unintentionally?
So here's the thing. It's either by accident. This particular paper is talking about animals caught up in the 2011 Japan earthquake and tsunami.
Oh, sure.
However they get onto this stuff or around this stuff, these garbage patches are spreading species all around the world.
Whoa, that could be invasive and problematic or exciting and wonderful. Maybe we can have some of those giant sea spiders?
No. No, I'm not participating in that. So the paper that I mentioned by James T. Carlton from Williams College and a whole bunch of other scientists, and another from a 2021 led by Lindsay E. Haram. I'll have both papers in the show notes. They both talk about species on the high seas. Pirates.
I think of raccoons immediately.
This is, and I love this, they call it, lost my spot, ocean rafting. That's what they call it. That these species are getting from one place to another, like rats on a floating palm tree or crabs on chunks of floating debris.
Oh.
Yeah. But garbage patches are accelerating that.
Sure. That makes sense.
Yeah. So what really gave scientists something to study, and this was just fascinating, there was that tsunami in 2011. Hundreds of coastal marine species landed on or were found in coastal waters off North America on the Pacific side and in Hawaii.
So good stuff. Are we getting anything awesome?
Well, I mean, I don't think there were no judgment calls in this paper.
Okay. Well, that's good then, because it's...
Yeah, it was a thing is happening. Isn't this interesting? Let's write a paper about it. So for example, so it's the largest ocean rafting event to date.
I wonder how long it takes to get across, and I'm sure it varies depending on what currents they get caught up in. But that in and of itself is like, was that movie Homeward Bound where the three pets make it back to their people? Except this is the opposite.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I do have an example. So that's 3,700 miles-ish across the ocean.
Ooh, that's a trek.
I know. And it's over the course of years. So I found this picture of a washed up rowboat found May of 2020 on an Oregon beach covered in barnacles and mussels, some from North America and some from Japan.
Oh, awesome.
Right? They're just like, hey, who are you? Come and join us while we float. So what's amazing about this is the papers both talk about how what used to be empty ocean now has growing diversity because of traveling coastal critters. Like that big space out in the middle, the coastal animals weren't ever out there except very rarely. And now with these floating islands, and when I say islands, it could just be like a shoebox size thing. That's enough to support a couple of crabs and some mussels and then maybe some fish that wouldn't normally leave.
But they've got a little ecosystem to follow.
Exactly. They're just kind of floating around.
Wow. So like real life Finding Nemo.
I know.
Except intercontinental Finding Nemo. That's interesting.
It is, right?
I wonder if that will potentially result in any like restoration of health of things like reefs, or if this is all like an unexpected good thing could happen from it. Let's think that, because you never know.
Yeah. I mean, I was thinking in some ways, if you have coastal areas that are being overpeopled, this would give those animals a place to go. Now, we do have on each coast invasive species. You know, these mussels are overcrowding those mussels. And, you know, and but are they coming in on trash? Are they coming in on boats that have sailed back and forth? You know, who knows?
Yeah.
But I just like the idea of these little guys out in the middle of the ocean. I mean, okay, yes, we've thrown a lot of trash out there, but at least somebody made a nice house out of it, right?
That's right. Silver lining.
Yeah. In all of these videos that I was watching, they were saying, you know, people say, well, just get out there and scoop it all up. And they are trying to do that.
Can you imagine, though? Good, go ahead.
Well, see, that's the thing. So during 2020, Ocean Voyages Institute founder Mary Crowley, she and her team collected 103 tons of garbage. That's 15 elephants.
Yeah. Could you tell I was doing some fast math? It's like the only time I haven't interrupted you in this episode. When you need me to stop interrupting, throw some math out there and it'll get a little break. Just talk real fast.
No, interrupting is good because that means you're interested. But like the fact that, I mean, that's just a drop. That's 103 tons, nothing. Absolutely nothing. Mm-hmm. And so all of the conservationists were saying, we just need to find a better way to dispose of our stuff.
Yeah, we need to stop it before it starts. Well, and okay, you've berry picked, right?
Yeah.
And then you bring in your bowl of blueberries or raspberries, and then like spiders are coming out or little bugs. Imagine in the garbage patches, you're scooping that up and like disoriented crabs and creepers are coming out the top. Like, hey, it's not so wet. Can we go back?
Right.
The whole thing is moving.
Well, and some portions of the garbage that they pulled out, that Ocean Voyages Institute, did go to labs that were, you know, like these two papers that came out because they were trying to look at what is on these things, where did it come from, you know, all those sorts of
identify
questions.
The major problem causers.
Yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of ramen wrappers near college that comes from this current. And
so recycle, boys and girls. It's important.
Wow. Well, that is unexpectedly interesting. That is a much more Disney animated sort of garbage pile than I imagined.
I know. When I started working on this, I thought, this is going to be too depressing. I mean, it is depressing. But also, life is finding a way. And so that's kind of cool.
Yes, you've just invoked the gold bloom, and that brings up everything. That elevates. That's the way to do it.
Exactly. Just sprinkle a little Jurassic Park on there. Yeah. And it's fine. It's fine.
It's fine. Life will find a way. Someone will make billions of dollars and the rest of them will die. It's fine. That is pretty accurate, feels like. And
right?
Also very dark.
Yes.
I'm just going to continue imagining like crabs and mussels with a little fish hanging out there because the crabs have to have something. Do crabs eat fish? What do crabs eat? Don't remember.
Well, they are like scavenger feeders.
Yeah, okay.
So
they'd need a little bit of territory, but.
Well, I mean, teeny tiny crabs.
Oh, true.
Teeny tiny crabs.
Yeah. Little thumbnail sized babies.
Yeah. They don't
I always
need anything.
Think of the fat daddies, but you're right. There's a lot of size range there.
Welcome to the restaurant. Tonight we have fat daddy crabs. Okay.
If I have a restaurant, I'm absolutely putting that on the menu someday.
Excellent. Yeah, so there you go. Now you know more than you needed to know about the giant Pacific garbage patch.
Well, I think that's functional knowledge. That's good for us to know. Make sure you dispose properly of your waste products and consider on the front end what you're purchasing.
Now we've lost everybody. They're like, okay, mom. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My sister and I, this is how old we are. We got really excited about the waste to energy plant because in our area, your garbage goes into the fire and creates energy. And she's like, it can burn so much stuff, Amy. So excited about that process.
It's fun to go, though.
I've heard
it
is.
To take things to the dump. And as a person who thrives on the dopamine of throwing things away, it's delightful. So good.
That's excellent. All right. If you'd like to hear more, we are on Facebook and Instagram, and I might come loop around and try that again.
Okay.
Nope. I don't have it today. It's gone.
Well, at least thank you for leaving. Thank you for leaving reviews. Thank you for subscribing.
Thank you for engaging.
Thank you.
Yeah. Brain Junk Podcast on social media and brainjunkpodcast.com. if you are Gen X.
Do you need to look at it on your laptop?
Part of my work, I've in my brain, everything is on a whole size computer screen, even though almost none of the world interacts with that way. And I have to remind myself, shrink it down, buddy. Everybody's going to social media and they're on their phone. Anywhere you listen to your podcasts, we're there. Trace and I will catch you next time when we share more of everything you never knew you wanted to know, and I guarantee you will not be bored.